Welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, your host on this fabulous Friday. Well, we have a big weekend coming up, Juneteenth, solstice, and of course, Father's Day. And we have a special tribute to dads coming up, a Tlingit perspective on the role of fathers in the family and the community. Also, Catholic Community Service is calling for compassion in action, how you can help, and our top three birds of the week to watch for. As for bird watching weather, clouds decreasing, but a slight chance of showers late in the evening, along with patchy fog, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly clear, and it could get up to 71 degrees. Good news for tomorrow's Maritime Festival. Juno Afternoon will be right back after National Native News. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Compassion in action. What a great campaign mantra. I'll have to say it again. Compassion in action. And Aaron Walker Tolis and Aaron Youngstrom are here to explain how Catholic Community Service is going to bring these words to life. Aaron Walker Tolis is the executive director for Catholic Community Service, and Aaron Youngstrom is the fund development and outreach coordinator. And perhaps we should begin with you, Aaron Walker Tolis. I'm going to have to say your last name so you know which Aaron I'm talking with, but maybe for starters, you could give us an overview for all the organizations that you are behind.
Well, Catholic Community Service is a faith-based regional nonprofit, and we've been serving Southeast Alaska since 1973. And so we've had a lot of time to grow and develop our partnerships. We have three primary divisions. One is Hospice and Home Care of Juno. Another is Southeast Senior Services. That's our largest division, and we serve all of Southeast Alaska with 11 senior centers, meals, rides, Meals on Wheels, case management. And here in Juno, that's the Juno Senior Center, the Bridge Adult Day Center, Meals on Wheels, and a number of other local programs as well. And then we also have the Safe Child Advocacy Center, serving children and families from across Southeast. Law enforcement and child welfare refers kids and families to us for forensic evaluation, sexual assault exams, and then referral and help to access services and advocacy all the way through the legal process when perpetrators go to court and we go with them.
That is an exhaustive list of services that you provide. So, Aaron Youngstrom, since you're in charge of the marketing, tell us about the philosophy behind this compassion and action theme.
So Compassion in Action, it's a campaign to support all of the three divisions that are a part of Catholic Community Service. And where the name originates from is that when someone donates to Catholic Community Service, their dollars are their compassion being put in action by Catholic Community Service so that we're able to serve families, seniors, and children who reside here in Southeast Alaska. Hopefully we have a lot of community members who donate, and then we can take those dollars and make action by serving the people who are our clients and receive our services.
I suppose that you're hoping for big donations, but why are you just simply asking for $5?
So this is to encourage people who are unfamiliar with Catholic Community Service, people who are unfamiliar with our full suite of divisions. Really commonly, someone may know that Catholic Community Service does Meals on Wheels, but they don't know that we do hospice and home care, or vice versa. So this campaign is to attract people who don't know our full range, attract new donors, and then people who do know what Catholic Community Service does to expand on that knowledge. So it's not so much about a couple big donors, but it's more about a large community of small donors, because Catholic Community Service is a huge organization, but we're made up of just a lot of people as well. So, yeah, that's the philosophy behind it.
I want to go to Aaron Walker Tolis and talk a little bit about numbers. People probably think, oh, okay, they'll write a grant and they'll take care of that. That's taken care of. But what is it when you can say X number of people in the Juneau area or Southeast Alaska donated X? And these many people contributed above X. What does that do when you go out asking for money?
Well, you know, it really, so much of it is about community engagement. You know, we can't do this work alone. We do have grants. We do have contracts. We have contracts with the city because we operate the Capital Access Paratransit vans for the CBJ. We have many state grants and many, many tribal partners and tribal grants as well across Southeast Alaska. But it's all about the partnership. Every single player plays a part. And honestly, like with most social services, even with those grants and contracts and all those great gifts, we're still underfunded for the basic core services. And knowing that when people make their donation, it can go to make an impact locally and help that elder who is needing that meal delivered, helping that child who really needs help to get counseling and to be identified as a survivor and to heal. That makes every difference in the world to us.
So once again, Erin Youngstrom, recap for us how we can help if we want to for the rest of this month.
So we are asking the community of Southeast Alaska, not just Juneau, because we serve all of Southeast, to come and follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Our Instagram is at CATH, C-A-T-H, COM, C-O-M service. And you can click the link in our bio. It will bring you directly to the fundraising page. And when you donate $5 or more, you get automatically entered to win 2 Alaska Airlines tickets anywhere they fly. And so once again, this is just to encourage many people to donate to Catholic Community Service, because we believe that this is a community made up of giving people, and you don't have to be a big donor. A dollar goes a long way to supporting seniors' children, but $5 automatically enters you. So if you have any questions, I do have to say that no donation is required to enter. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. There's more information on the fundraising page, which you can find on our Instagram or Facebook or even on our website at ccsak.org.
All right. Well, we will take a deeper dive into some of the services that Catholic Community Service provides next week. We'll have you guys back, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about this campaign. So joining us today, Erin Walker-Tolis, she's Executive Director, and Erin Youngstrom, she's the Fundraiser and Outreach Coordinator. Thanks, both of you, for joining us. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Typically, we celebrate Father's Day by giving Dad a new necktie, maybe a brand new cordless drill, or a special dinner to mark the occasion. But rarely do we celebrate the role fathers have played throughout human history. Perhaps, though, we can look to some of Alaska's native cultures to get a sense of what that might have been like. Recently, I sat down with Lyle and Colleen James, well known for their love of Southeast Alaska Native cultures and for sharing it with the community at large. This year, Lyle is overseeing Gold Belt Heritage Foundation's Culture Camp, and Colleen has been a longtime force for cultural healing through her work at the University of Alaska Southeast. And together, they head up a song and dance group.
Hey, 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 hey.
Truly, they're a pair in which one completes the other, and an inspiration to talk with. It's so nice to have the both of you here to sit and have a conversation. So it would be great if you could introduce yourselves in the traditional Tlingit way.
Goodness, cheesh. My name is Keith Leish. I am Eagle Wolf Kaguantan, and my in-laws are the Kanakadi and Kanhada. And then my father's people are the Kiksedi Raven Frog. And I said thank you for listening.
Gnuskish Tlingit Renach Dakilt Yuchet Duasak Yesna Khatsati Ganahadi ka getlang ganhada echet. Gunskish to the Kagwantan, my father's people and my in-laws. And Gunskish to the brown bear people, the Takwedi, the Tsimshian, the Irish, the English, and the Haida, my grandfather's people. And special thank you to the black community. Our sons come from that community. And while we're talking about shout outs, also to the Hawaiian and the Filipino communities who are also my in-laws. So gunlchish. My Tlingit name is Dach Kilt'ach. It comes from the head of the Nass River. I am Tlingit and Tsimshian, following my mother's lines. We follow our mother's lines. We're matrilineal. On my Tlingit, I identify as Ganahadi. And then through my Tsimshian lines, the Gunhada, and both are raven starfish. And thank you for hearing our words.
Trying to think about a typical introduction from a non-native to someone else. They would start with their name, but they would rarely mention their parents. And then the next thing they might say is, I work for such and such, and I'm such and such. But in the Tlingit culture and other native cultures, you never start from yourself, really, but you start with your ancestors. What's the thinking behind that?
Before we go any further, I do want to invite Lyle to do a land acknowledgement.
Yeah. I wanted to say for their gentle reminder. We are on Akkwan land. And thank you to the Akkwan people for allowing us to gather to be able to speak on their land.
And with the land comes many stories and many ways of being. So going back to that question, what do you find so special about being able to introduce yourself first by explaining your heritage to those you meet?
So I'm not speaking on behalf of the Tlingit or the Tsimshian, but as I'm understanding our culture, for me, because we do follow the matrilineal, because we do follow our mother's lines, we have that opportunity to lift our opposites, our father's people, our grandfather's people. It's a way of acknowledging our loved ones. And also when we're introducing ourselves, then people know who our families are, what community we come from. There's no mystery there. And also, traditionally, we didn't do a traditional introduction. If we had done it traditional style, it would have been me introducing my husband and my husband introducing me. But we're still learning, we're still practicing. My husband has no problem introducing me, but because he's not trying to shame me because I'm still learning the language, he is being gracious and making it so that I don't embarrass myself. So I just want to say gunlchish to my husband while I'm still learning the language. Coming back to your question about the introduction, it lets everyone in the room know who we're related to. It lets everyone who's within earshot know how they're related to us. Usually when you know that you're looking at a relative, then that whole mystery and fear of the unknown disappears because you're standing in the same room or space as your relative. And so I think that's really beautiful because it also allows for the opportunity to have a conversation, to reminisce, to storytell, to share information about your family or your clan. I think that's so beautiful because you're less likely to hurt each other. If you know your grandparents, people are standing right here before you. What do you think?
Jeez. Ega. That was all true. It is a current concept to be able to introduce ourselves. And some of the elders would say, it wasn't until about 100 years ago that we had to start introducing ourselves. It started out as, oh, they're bragging about themselves, to, oh, that's how they're related to me, or that's how I'm related to them. And everything that we do now is, it's a way of showing pride of who we're related to. And that idea to introduce ourselves and acknowledge our father's people is always there now.
It's almost as if in our modern world, the idea behind it is that we are who we are because of just ourselves. It doesn't acknowledge mm-hmm. the people that came before us. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, we're alive because somebody survived, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't ever acknowledge that. Tlingit way, the native way of acknowledging your ancestors is a beautiful tradition. And I guess we're here today to talk about Father's Day and in the context of the Tlingit culture. Mm. And it seems like maybe a good way to start would be to talk about your own fathers. Colleen, you want to go first?
Sure. So my dad is a proud Tsimshian Air Force Vietnam veteran. He grew up in Metlakatla and then went on to SJ or Sheldon Jackson. And then once he graduated, he went into the military, the Air Force. I think he did three years and then came out. Met my mom, worked for Alaska Airlines. My mom is pretty special, but we're talking about Father's Day. So my dad, he met my mom, they got married, they had me, and I think what's really special about my dad is that his story, like his brothers and sisters, you know, it's got some adversity in there, and to know that they had the conversation before they even committed to each other to change what kind of life they were going to have with each other based on what they experienced in their childhood. You know, I don't want to go into too much detail other than there was adversity. There's the alcoholism, boarding school, there's racism, there's the shame that came with colonialism that impacted our great-great-grandparents and our great-grandparents and our grandparents, and to know that my parents together, they worked together to interrupt those cycles. So I grew up with a super dad, a protector. He is fun. He and my mom are retired in Anchorage, and just creative, and everything that he didn't have in his childhood made sure that my mom and I had it in this time with him. It's pretty special. So he's a fisherman, a hunter, a provider, worked many years for the government, retired, and loves to travel. I think for at least the 17 years that you and I have been together, we've traveled almost every year with my family because our family loves to travel. Anyway, so my dad just worked on supporting my mom and I in the things that we love. He supports us in education. I work at the University of Alaska Southeast for 20 years now. You could find me in the Native Memorial Student Center. My parents didn't grow up in the culture with the language, singing and dancing. Lyle and I, we have a dance group, so that's pretty important to this story. But what was so brilliant about my dad and my mom is that they said, you know, we didn't have it, but we're going to make sure she has access to her identity.
But I think that's part of being a great parent, mm-hmm. is that you want your kids to have it better than you. And
right.
I guess if you start off and things are good, they only get better. And I guess that's the power of family, right?
Right.
One generation building upon the next.
Yes. That's a really nice way of putting it. A solid foundation. My parents didn't come from a solid foundation, but I don't want that to reflect on our culture, because it wasn't until colonialism hit our people that it interrupted our strong foundation. And I think my parents, they refused to let it be part of their foundation and opened up doors for me. I mean, I didn't know when I was a little kid that my husband and I would start a dance group. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Even though my parents didn't grow up with the language and they didn't grow up singing and dancing, they definitely knew how to open doors for me and for my family, and just being loving supports for us, I think, in our relationship, which has been really nice. I don't know any other kind of fatherhood or parenting, because I only have my dad and his experience and how he parented me, so I really can't speak to other people's experiences. I feel really fortunate, though, because I have heard other friends and family members who had different experiences with their dads, and so I feel like what a treasure that I have. And I've been able to share it with my husband and our children. Our kids think the world of their grandpa, you know, and they know no other way for a grandpa to be other than amazing. And so he set the bar pretty high.
Father's Day is for grandpas too, right?
Totally, yes.
And if you're lucky to have one, great-grandfathers.
Oh my gosh, yeah, thank you. Okay, so I'm getting all emotional. I'm going to turn over to Lyle.
What I love, memories that come from my father, is all the training that he's done to make sure that the skill set that he had was something that I could enjoy, that we all could enjoy. It wasn't just for him, it was for my siblings and I. And it was for all the kids that he was able to work with. My father, what he loved to do was share his knowledge about subsistence, and taught at a culture camp that I grew up in. And because of his love for sharing everything that he learned with us, I'm able to do that today. Share what I learned from him with my family. And that's something I will always treasure.
Well, love is never lost, is it really? Once planted as a seed, it has a way of growing. And it sounds like now that you have kind of taken up the mantle of working with kids at camp through Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, that love continues. It flows through you to other children.
Yes.
So love is never wasted. No. So I'm curious, how is it, Lyle, that you learned to speak Tlingit so well?
I actually didn't learn Tlingit until I met Colleen. And when she had brought me to a class here at UAS in Juneau, started learning with her in a class with Florence Shakely. And I wanted to surprise my grandparents, who were still alive at the time, by going back home to speak Tlingit to them. And that's where it started. It was just when we first got together.
I thought your mom just shared on our ferry trip back from Huna, and you can correct me if I misheard, but I thought I understood that your grandparents in Huna, when you were a baby, would speak to you in the language. And then your grandpa Kelly, after he had a stroke, I thought that the part of his mind that allowed him to communicate was the part that was the Tlingit's language. And am I misremembering?
No, that's correct. My great-grandfather spoke only Tlingit, and my great-grandmother as well. My great-grandmother was actually a dance group leader. Her name was Elsie Pratt, and her husband was Jacob Pratt Sr. And my great-grandfather, I was fortunate enough to be able to sit and listen to him and hear him tell stories in Tlingit. And the way my mom was describing it was is that he would be telling me stories and be animated when he told the stories, and that would make me laugh, and I would talk back, and then he would laugh because she said it sounded like we knew what we were talking about. Sharing old stories and memories together.
Well, those seeds were planted, and maybe it just took them a while to blossom until you met Colleen.
Maybe.
So help us out. Teach us some words in Tlingit. And maybe it would be good, since this is Father's Day, to talk about words surrounding fatherhood. Like, what is the Tlingit word for father?
For father in Tlingit, it's ish. There's just one word for father, and that I know of.
And that's part ish. Of your name.
It is. Chitli ish is my Tlingit name.
So what does that translate into?
It means father of Chitli. And Chitli is actually a raven woman's name.
Interesting. But I think that name is very appropriate, given that here you are at a camp for young people, kind of fathering the next generation, sharing culture and language.
Or maybe more like an uncle.
Yeah.
I think that culture camps give an opportunity for uncles and aunties to step in into the roles that we used to before colonialism. It allows us aunties and uncles to step in and do the training. And maybe some families throughout Southeast still practice the traditional aunties are stepping in to parent and train, and uncles are stepping in to parent and train.
Do you think colonialism sort of caused the concept of fatherhood to shrink in Native cultures?
I think colonialism totally flipped fatherhood on its side, at least for Native people. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but if we're going back, if we're attempting to decolonize our experience today, then it means that we are honoring our father's people, and we're inviting our men to step into roles that were there before contact, before colonialism, and that purpose of providing and teaching and helping raise nephews would be something beautiful. And what I think is so gorgeous about our culture, if we continue on this path of decolonizing, is that, for example, one of Lyle's clan brothers, Conrad Frank, is Kagwantan. He's not a dad, but because they're clan brothers, he's automatically an uncle to my daughter, to our kids. And if we could continue to decolonize, then we can continue to lift our family members, our clan members, and acknowledge them in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, that the whole world needs to be decolonized?
Yes.
In
yes.
some ways?
It's... Oh, my, yes.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love our vehicles. I love our cell phones. But you know what? All of that would have been there. We come from intelligent people who had a complete, holistic way of being intact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And do we think colonialism undermines fatherhood? And I say, holy cow, toxic masculinity and boys never cry and all of that BS. Oh, my goodness. And in our culture, we know that we can cry. The men can cry. The men and the women can mourn for a year, not just, okay, we're going to have the ceremony here. We'll do the funeral and then the burial and that's it. And then you got to pull yourself together. Our people are so brilliant. We have a technology of love and support built into our way of grieving where you get a year or more, and it's not just you by yourself. It's the whole clan that grieves with you, and it's the opposite clan who comes forward and holds you and provides for you and cares for you while you're grieving. There's no rushing that process. And in today's society, we get rushed. For an example, for work, I get one day of sick leave to attend a funeral. One day of sick leave. Can you believe that? If I want to go beyond that, if I'm like so heart stricken, I have to turn in annual leave or I have to go get a doctor's. I mean, I'm not just talking about my job. I'm talking about just society in general. That's colonialism. And if we decolonize that and we recognize that people need to grieve, holy cow, we might not have as many people in depression and abusing themselves through addiction. And
a lot of times when I've watched Native cultures carry out their traditions, I've often wondered if those traditions were traditions for the rest of the Western world, but industrialization came and time moved on, and so a lot of ground was lost. So I'm often appreciative when I see these traditions in Native culture to remind us that we are human beings. And the roots of our humanity began with the clans and the tribes. I'm going maybe far afield, but maybe back to the subject at hand, Lyle. When did you become a father, and how did being Tlingit, an Alaska Native, figure into that role of fatherhood?
17 years ago, we found out we were going to have our daughter. But even before then, I was practicing being a father and to our stepson, my sons, trying to figure it out how to parent, not out of fear of making a mistake, stumbling, like, all the time, and loving how our sons would communicate with me and say, but that's not what I wanted to do. Why'd you say that? It's just simple things that help me grow as a father. And their patience with me and finding my path as a father that I wanted to be. So it's the patience that are in the grace that my wife and our boys and daughter gave to be able to help me grow as a father.
So did you draw on your culture for that?
Yeah. Thinking about our clan connections and my name Chitlish, there is a family who has ties to my Tlingit name, Chitlish. And actually we rode the ferry over with my namesake's daughter. And any time that she sees me or her brother sees me, they say, Ish, Wasi Yati, how are you doing, Dad? When you hear that love, that unconditional love of, when you hear Achish, that reminds me of the generations of Chitlishes that have been around. And the idea of our clan system, oh my, anytime that you go anywhere in Southeast, and from now on, my wife's father's people will always be around her. The Kagwantans will always be there for her. And I know that the same thing is going to be for the Kanakhadi. Anywhere I go, I see them as my in-laws or my grandfather's people. And then, so the name Shtuwuka is my father-in-law's Tlingit name. Mm-hmm. And there, what's beautiful is that Shtuwuka was actually the one who helped bring our daughter into the world. And the names that we have within our cultures, our clans, it's like our ancestors are coming forward to help lift us.
So with clans, fatherhood kind of expands.
Mm-hmm. So when we stand up in front and we address anybody, for me, if I address anybody who is Kiksadi, I would say, Akh ish has Kiksadi. Or Akh ish has Yukkwad. To my father's people who are Raven Frog, or to my father's people who are Hawaiian. And that's, in Tlingit introductions or acknowledgments, that would be appropriate.
So one of the things you do so well is tell stories that have been gifted to you. And I wondered today if you might gift us with a story that ties in with fatherhood, Father's Day.
There's a song that I composed not too long ago with Kone, Lance Twitchell. And we were out at Ock Rec one day, and it happened to be like 2 degrees out, and we were going into the ocean. And it happened to be kind of a rough start of a semester, and there was a bunch of things that were happening within our families.
So just so that people know, Lance Twitchell is a professor at the University of Alaska Southeast. He teaches Tlingit. So, yes. So you and Lance were outside pondering going into the water?
We were preparing for going into the water. Yes.
In other words, you were going to go for a swim.
Yes.
And it was 2 degrees.
Yes.
Why?
So, a long time ago, my grandfather, my father's father, he said that anytime you need strength, go to the ocean. And it doesn't matter what time of year, you go to the ocean, you ask for that strength. He said, you know, and he tied the story with it. He said, you know that when you run along the shore and you see that tree that stands by itself, he said, you look at it and it almost looks like it's standing by itself. But when you look behind it, you'll see all the other trees that are standing there. He said, when you're looking at that tree, you can see how the waves are coming in and it's crashing at its feet, like it's taking the ground from underneath its feet. And you can see how the wind blows and it almost looks like it's going to be blowing over. But then you think about it. The roots of that tree are reaching out to the other trees and supporting each other. And that's what the ocean does for us, is it connects us, it strengthens us, it reminds us that whatever we're doing, we're never going to be alone. And that song that came to me was Ek Hinde Yantu At, we're going into the ocean. Ha Tishkwas Hadiyi Deshe. Our ancestors, we need strength. Sutin Hatuasigu. we need strength. Those are all the words of the song. And that's where that song comes from, is that story that my grandfather shared.
It would be nice to hear the song, if you don't mind.
Okay, usually we have a drum and a rattle, and we have a moment to harmonize. Okay.
She is such a better singer than I am, and...
Okay, yeah, we could do it.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey. I think to the fathers, to my dad, to all the men in your family, to all the men in my family, I just appreciate that we stand on their shoulders, which allows us to sit here and have this conversation with you. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all those dads and all those single moms and grandmas and aunties and sisters who are stepping in to fill that role. Goodness, geez.
Yeah, for
Say the word for father again for me, Lyle.
Ish.
Ish, ish. Mm-hmm. What do you love about Lyle's role as an ish?
I think number one, just that humbleness. that I have a really wonderful dad, and I had hoped that when I grew up, I would find a partner who was amazing at providing and protecting like my dad did for my mom and I. And for Lyle, for you to step in as a step dad, which is not really something that's in our culture. There's no such thing as step. If you're stepping into that role, you are the dad. And I just appreciate your creating a safe, brave space for my sons to figure out how to be men and being consistent. And for enjoying adventure with all of us. And for showing our kids what it is to be a man and the sacrifices that you make for a family. I appreciate all of that. And I appreciate that you, if you don't have the answers, it's okay to say, I don't know. But let me try to figure out the answer with you. I think that's really important, that decolonizing and letting go of toxic masculinity. I just appreciate that. So, goodness cheese.
Goodness cheese.
And Gunashchish to Lyle and Colleen James for sharing their thoughts on Father's Day and much more. Up next, three more birds to get to know on our weekly Bird Watch. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thanks for being here with us. It's said that birds are some of nature's best ambassadors, but who is the ambassador for the birds? Well, in Juno, we have Brenda Wright, the program manager for the Juno Audubon Society. And Brenda, we always start off by checking in with you about your recent bird watching experiences.
Well, this has been a really interesting past week. There's a lot of interesting things around the Dredge Lake areas. There's warblers, American red starts, different kinds of ducks, baby ducks. That's always fun to see this time of year. And everybody's singing. So it's a very full, the forest is full of songs.
And we've got one for you. You heard it just a moment ago, but I'll play it again. This is the Pacific Slope Flycatcher. Now, that one's pretty musical, Brenda.
Yeah, I was ever so glad to hear this one today because the mosquitoes were crawling inside my glasses to get to me.
Yes, flycatcher is a good thing to have this time of the year. So our next one is the marbled murrelet. Tell us about that bird.
Well, this bird lives with us all year round. It's a very small alcid. It's only about 7 or 8 inches long. And it likes to live high in old growth trees or on cliffs. So you might see this tiny brown marine bird flying over your head every twice or two or three times a day when they're feeding their babies.
Boy, that one just kind of sends chills down my spine.
Yeah, they tend to really talk to each other a lot. So you might be way from shore and see this little tiny bird and it's making calls like that because they're keeping in touch with their mate.
So we got a number of warblers around, but this one that you picked out for us today is the Wilson's warbler. Tell us about that bird.
Well, I do believe this is our smallest warbler that we have come visit with us. It's a mostly yellow, but it's got a bright black cap, which really distinguishes it from the others.
Boy, that's just lovely.
They're actively calling. Almost everywhere in town I go, I can hear, even by the governor's mansion.
So give us some pointers. We're approaching solstice. What can we expect this weekend? Do you think we get more activity during solstice when there's more daylight?
The thing for birds is that this early daylight makes them very, very active early in the morning. If you happen to have a window open in your home, I'm sure you're going to hear birdsong quite early. The varied thrush, the robins, most of the warblers, and all the flycatchers are happy to greet the sun. So they get quite quiet after about 6 hours of daylight. So it's best to go out and listen early if you can, between 8 and 10 a.m. or so.
So how much longer can we expect to just have primetime bird watching?
Well, it's really fun this time of year because there's so many young ones starting to leave the nest. And every single young bird that learns how to fly begs from its parents for a while, hoping to get fed continuously. So you get to see him even better.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Brenda Wright, with the Juno Audubon Society, for pointing out three birds to watch this week. Thanks.
Thank you.
And that will do it for Juno Afternoon. Thank you for joining the conversation, whether you're celebrating the solstice, Juneteenth, the Juno Maritime Festival, or Father's Day. From all of us at KTOO, have a wonderful weekend.